Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
How's it, everybody? What you're about to watch is the rebroadcast of a live episode of the podcast that Jimmy and I recorded on Wednesday, June 29th. We're talking about the return of Command Fest and big in-person live magic events. We've been to a lot of these. If you've never been to one and you want the down low on how they work, that's going to be in this episode. Also, we're giving out our best tips for how to maximize your event, how to have the most fun, our little hacks and things like that, things maybe you wouldn't know even if you've been to some of these events. Big thanks to Wizards of the Coast for sponsoring the episode. One thing I wanted to say is that there is a link down in the show notes. Wizards wanted us to let you know about a survey that they are putting out there for Commander players. They're always looking for feedback from the community. If you want to influence, you know, how they think about the format or some of the decisions they're going to make in the future, the survey is a good way to do that. So find that link in the show notes and answer the questions and help them shape the format for the players. Before we get into the episode, just want to shout out our sponsors, channelfireball.com/command. That's the affiliate link you want to use when you're ordering your magic product, singles, anything at all. The Channel Fireball Marketplace, the best place, bar none, to get your magic cards, especially like sealed products. Right now, Double Masters is right around the corner. In fact, we talk about it a little bit in this episode. That set looks insane. The reprint value is crazy. You know you want to get your hands on that stuff. Channelfireball.com/command is the best place to go to get it. You're going to be dealing with professional vendors who are going to get you your stuff on time and in great condition. And then, of course, once you get your hands on those cards, you want to protect them, especially if you get a Dockside Extortionist or a Vidalcan Orrery or something like that. You want to put it into an Eclipse sleeve. You want to make sure you're playing everything onto an Ultra Pro playmat. Ultra Pro products are the gaming accessory products that Jimmy and I trust our own collections to. We have all of our stuff protected by Ultra Pro because they really do make the best in the biz to protect all of your game pieces. You want a Satin Tower deck box or a Mythic collection. They also have really, really cool Eclipse dice. They have wall scrolls if you want to spice up your game room. Ultra Pro really has you covered, and now they have an affiliate link through us, shop.ultrapro.com/command. If you use that, then you can often find some of the stuff that's sold out at your LGS, or maybe is just harder to find in your region or whatever, because I know that, you know, LGS is sometimes you'll see like Rakdos sleeves or something on an Extra Turns episode, and you'll go to find them at your local game store and they just don't carry them. Well, a lot of that stuff can be found at shop.ultrapro.com/command, and you can also find all kinds of good deals there as well. They often have lots of discounts. So big thanks to our sponsors. And finally, before we get into the show, I just want to shout out that we have a Kickstarter going on for our Game Nights playmat that we are calling Before the Storm. Has really, really cool art. We're really excited about this playmat. If you want to show your fandom of Game Nights, if you want to show off your support of the show and have a really cool looking battlefield, the Kickstarter link will be in the show notes. You just go down there, you click on that, you lock in your order. Warning, it's limited edition. We're only going to make it this one time, just like all of our past Kickstarters for playmats. We just look at how many people ordered. We make that many playmats. We ship them out, and then we never make this playmat again. So if you want to get your hands on it, please lock in your order soon, because once the Kickstarter's over, it's gone forever. Okay, with all that said, and without further ado, let's get into the live episode.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
You know, big live in-person Magic events are back.
Yeah.
This summer, there are a ton of Command Fests planned. Some have already happened, but there are a bunch coming up. And so what we wanted to do, because we just got back from Command Fest Las Vegas like a couple of weeks ago, and Jimmy and I have been to a bunch of these events over the years.
Yep.
And we want to give y'all out there our best tips, best practices to kind of make sure that you have the most fun when you go to one of these events if you're considering it. And also just to kind of let you know how they work, because I think a lot of people, they would sort of like to go to one, but they've never been, and that can make you a little anxious and maybe make you decide not to go just because you don't know how they work, right?
Yep, exactly. So Command Fest, they're back. We've had, I think, 6 so far, 15 remaining.
9 remaining.
9 remaining, so sorry. And I'm just really excited, too. And don't forget, we're taking a Q&A from the audience at the end here. So this is the summer of Command Fest you're seeing on the screen right now.
Yeah, so these are the Command Fests that are still left to happen in the month of July. You can see they're in regions all over the world. Hopefully there's one close to you. There are going to be slightly different details about each one. We're going to talk about Command Fest in a general sense. Lady is going to also link the page in chat that sort of can lead you to more information about these events if you want to go to any specific one.
Yep.
They're all run by different organizers, so some of the details will be a little bit different. But for the overall, generally, they will function in the same manner. So we're going to talk about them in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, now, what you're seeing here are the Command Fests that are remaining. 6 of them have already happened, including Vegas. Actually, 2 in South America as well. Brazil and Mexico City both just had one. And I'm sure if you've been on Twitter, you've been seeing a lot of pictures from them.
Yeah, there was actually 2 in Brazil. So one already happened, but there's still one coming
up. Yeah,
another one in Sao Paulo. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that.
A big Magic community in Brazil. So hi to everybody out there. There's also a really big Magic event that's not technically a Command Fest that's coming up in October.
It's Magic 30.
Yeah. This is going to be like the biggest Magic event maybe that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's the 28th through the 30th of October, which is basically like Halloween weekend. It's going to be in Las Vegas. It's huge. This is an epic event.
Yeah, a 30-year anniversary for Magic. Feels like the 25th was just last year. But if you see here, look at all the different events that are happening. Number one, most important to us, a Commander-dedicated play area. There's going to be a lot of gameplay just happening. Sit down and play with people. But past that, I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah, the world... Magic World Championship is going to be happening at this big event. There's going to be Unfinity will have just come out.
Oh,
and
man.
And so Mark Rosewater is going to be there.
Hosting the event.
Hosting the Unfinity events.
There's this modern tournament, though.
Yeah, this is crazy. So we've been talking in the office ever since the announcement of, like, should we try and learn how to play modern just so we can enter this tournament? Because there's a modern tournament that the top 8 of that modern tournament is going to get to do a beta draft.
Yep, that's right. Beta booster packs from Magic the Gathering are going to be opened.
Crazy.
Didn't they
do this a few years ago? And, like, somebody opened a Mox,
beta Mox. No, I think they opened a Duel Land as well. So there's just a lot of really cool hype events happening to celebrate a really big milestone for Magic's 30th year anniversary. And they have a whole logo and everything, obviously.
Yeah, this is kicking off Magic's 30th year. So it came out in, the end of, it must be 92?
Yeah, it's 93. That's right, yeah. And there's going to be an exclusive secret lair. There's panels, interviews. We're going to talk about all this stuff as well because... What Magic 30 is kind of the biggest version of what the events are that we're going to be talking about for the Magic events for the rest of this episode.
Yeah, and of course, Jimmy and I are going to be at Magic 30.
Yes, that's right.
Some stuff as well, so more to be announced soon. There's a link for the Magic 30 event that Lady will link in the chat. And also, if you're watching the VODs, those will be in the show notes, the links for the Command Fest details and Magic 30. Okay, let's go back to Command Fest here, though. And this is going to apply a little bit to Magic 30 because it's going to work in a similar way. But let's just explain kind of what a Command Fest is, Jimmy, because I think if either you haven't been to any live Magic event before, or even if you went in the past times, like, they used to be called GPs, Grand Prix.
Yep.
For a while, they were called Magic Fest, but now we have Command Fest, and they're sort of subtly different than how live events used to work, so it might be good to sort of brush up on what the differences are as well.
Yep, so Command Fest, as you can tell, and as by looking at this picture here, you're seeing a lot of players playing. This might not be a Command Fest specifically, but Command Fest is an event that's focused on Commander. Here's a picture from the Vegas event we were just at. So there's going to be a suite of different ways to play Commander, as well as ways to come together and celebrate and even play some limited formats like Commander Legends Baldur's Gate, which is a Commander draft. And it's really just boiling down to is a big room filled with a lot of people that love Magic, tons of Magic players, personalities, cosplayers, vendors, artists, and ways to play Commander at its very core.
Yeah, it's just a coming together of Commander players, Magic players in a big live setting. So at its base, it is just a celebration of Magic and Commander. Again, to note, we're going to go through how they work, but there are some subtle differences depending on the organizer. So just make sure that if you are planning to attend one, you know, find the details for that specific event.
Great call.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about passes and badges to Command Fest. Because in past events, Jeep Grand Prix and some of the other stuff, you did not need a pass or a badge to get into the event. But Command Fest works slightly differently.
Yep.
You do need a pass or basically a ticket that allows you to even enter the venue.
You'll see that people had wristbands on in the picture. And that's basically what said, hey, I can walk into the venue. In the past, didn't need it. But that's because the main event was typically a tournament, like a standard tournament or a modern tournament. But Commander is all about playing with a lot of different people.
So if you think if I was going to a big event before and it had like a huge standard tournament that was the centerpiece of that, you would have to pay some amount of money to enter the tournament and register for that and everything. And that kind of was why you didn't need like a necessary badge to get into the event, because if you're going to play in any of the tournaments, which is what the events were, you still had to do that. So now it's more about casual play, finding other players, and you're not playing for any stakes or any tournaments for a lot of it. You can. We'll talk about that later. So the badge just kind of gets you entry to the play area. And then once you're in there, you can kind of just play games.
Yeah, there's day passes as well as weekend passes.
Oh, right.
We're going to deliver some cool hot tips here.
Okay.
So the first tip that we're going to talk about today is a very basic one, which is if you want to go to these events, now that you know you need a badge in the pass, make sure that you secure that badge in the pass before you book your travel and your lodging to wherever it is you may be going.
Yeah, this is a thing I've seen some chatter on Twitter and things of people who, like for the Vegas event, booked their hotel and their airfare and then went to book their pass to get their pass over their badge to get into the event, and it had sold out.
Or even go up to the venue itself and wait to that moment to get the pass and the badge.
You don't want to do that. They can sell out. There's just a maximum capacity for the venues where these events are being held. So trust me, whatever city these are being held in, you know, Las Vegas, of course, but if it's in Indianapolis or whatever, those cities are probably not going to run out of hotel rooms. There are going to be flights that you will be able to find to get to that city somehow. Yep. However, the venue itself could run out of badges. So you want to make sure that you've purchased your badge and you have that secured before you go to book the rest of your trip. Because you don't want to be in the position where you've got a hotel and airfare and you've already paid for it and you can't get into the event.
Yeah, just remember this too. There are also special events that if you don't register for it prior to it, you may not be able to play. I remember there was a crazy booster draft through the ages of you would draft every set as it goes throughout one of the old GP Vegases. And you know, you had to book that early. Same with like VIP versions of the weekend badges as well. Some of those have limited quantity numbers. So just make sure you secure that part before you go into the rest of the planning.
Yeah. So if you're planning on going on one of these events, please go to that website that Lady linked earlier and make sure you check out the specifics for that event Get your badge. Look at what side events and things are happening. Because a lot of that stuff will fill up, will sell out, and you want to make sure that you've guaranteed your seat in that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
What does your actual badge and pass get you? Well, as you're seeing on screen here, you get some cards typically, because there are always promos tied to every single event. Soul Ring and Path of Ancestry is what is currently on the Command Fest. And obviously, you play these in a lot of decks.
Yeah. So when you pay your entry and get your badge and your pass, it's not like you just get entry to the venue and that's it. They usually give you like a little goodie bag or swag package. And one thing you get is promo cards. The Soul Ring promo and the Path of Ancestry are the promos right now. But they can change in the future. So, you know, in future Command Fest, these could be different cards. We don't know. I don't know if they've announced yet what Magic 30 is going to have. Maybe
some special stuff.
They usually announce it ahead of time, so you will know what the promo cards you are going to get. But for the Command Fest through July, this is what you'll get. Soul Ring.
There's also sometimes play mats that you'll get with the VIP packages and all that stuff. Again, that link that was just posted in chat, click through, go to the website for the Command Fest you're interested in attending, and all of those details should be there. What you're seeing on screen now is one that Channel Fireball did, which they had a deck box and some sleeves.
Yeah, sometimes there's event tickets in there, so you could go to the prize wall and get some stuff. Sometimes there's free entry into like one draft or a couple of drafts.
Yeah, in this case, it looks like there's a few here.
Yeah, like so different tournament organizers, event organizers will have different stuff that they offer when you get your badge, but there's often like additional like little pieces. So it's not like, hey, I pay X amount and all I get is into the venue. You get a bunch of other stuff along with it as well.
Well, speaking of events, there's another type of event that happens at these things, and it's called side events. So let's talk about how side events work at a Command Fest or a Magic Fest, because this to me is one of my favorite parts about why I love attending. It's because it's not just about the normal Commander play. There's other really exciting things to do on the side.
Yeah, of course you can go in and you can play pickup games of Commander just for fun, and that's going to be a lot of your weekend or whatever. But there are also sort of more organized things going on that you can sign up for, and a lot of them do cost
entry fees
and things like that. But if, like for instance, Command Fest Las Vegas, which we were just at, it was right around the time Commander Legends Baldur's Gate came out. And so there was, you could just sign up for drafts of Commander Legends. And, you know, if you're just in your hometown or whatever, it can be hard to find eight people to draft with. Even us, like sometimes getting eight people together can be tough. Just like Thursday night.
And you don't always want to be the same eight people either. At Command Fest, oh my goodness. Look here, you can see our office ready to draft Battle for Baldur's Gate. But you can just go up and get a group of eight people like that sometimes. And it's really awesome to fill up. Everyone sits down and starts playing Magic.
Yeah, you can just go up by yourself, sign up for the next draft. And as other players come in, they'll say, okay, we've got eight. Go to this point. They'll give you your packs and you just start drafting.
And there's a judge there too. So if you're a beginner, players are always happy to explain what's happening. You also see the mystery boosters here. These were another thing that they did. They did mystery boosters sealed. And these have some really wacky cards in it. So it's a really fun environment. And that was something that sold out really quickly. So another great reason to get your stuff secured early, to get into the venue early, and then also just make sure you sign up for the events before they sell out.
In the old days, Jimmy and I used to go to like the GPs and just...
Yeah, GPs.
Because there wasn't as many places to play Commander back in those days, and we would just play the side events like basically the whole time. Just draft like 8 hours for like a whole Saturday, just draft like five times.
Yeah.
You know.
Way better than sitting there and clicking through it on MTGO, that's for sure. So that's a great part about these conventions are the side events.
Yeah, this brings us to our second tip, tip number two when attending a in-person Magic event, which is bring some extra sleeves and an empty card container. This can be a deck box, it could be like a small BCW box, and you want some loose sleeves that you don't have any cards that those are married to yet, because if you draft or something like that, I mean, you're going to a big live Magic event, it is likely that you are going to acquire some new Magic cards in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, and not just that, you want to make sure that they stay safe on their trip back to your original location. So whether it's your hotel room or where you flew in from, having a small deck box for either, because every time I draft, when I'm done with the chaff, I'll usually find someone to give it to. If there's a kid around, oh my gosh, take all these cards, have fun with them. And then something I want to keep.
But usually like a card or two you want to keep. Or
even like a foil basic land, I'll put it into a sleeve and make sure it doesn't get dinged up.
Yeah, I've definitely like gotten, like in the early days when I didn't know much about attending Magic events, like you draft and then you'd be done with the draft and you'd be like,
uh-oh,
I have this handful of cards.
Fistful.
All my deck boxes are full with my decks, and I don't want to just put the loose cards into my backpack. They'll get bent up.
I've done it, and it's
so now
pleasant.
You're like carrying around the cards, like going around to the vendors, like trying to can I buy some sleeves?
Pockets.
Can I find a box? So if you bring that stuff with you, you're just in a much better position. You're good. You're just like, okay, put those in there, put that in the box, put that in my backpack. I'm good.
If you're a serial drafter, you know how to do this. You've got your box with the lands and stuff. And speaking of lands, they'll have land stations. All that stuff is provided, as well as real judges. So you can ask a question in the middle of your game if you need to know what's going on. So it's a really supportive environment and a great way to find players quickly and to do side events that are fun. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of this Commander side events, but there are very specific ones at Command Fest.
Yeah, I would say even if you're not planning on drafting, because I know not everybody's a drafter, and that's fine, but there are vendors and there's trading that goes on. So it's just very likely you will end up with some cards that, you know, you'll walk into the convention hall and you'll walk out that night and you'll have acquired some cards in some way.
Yeah.
And so just thinking about that and having a place to put them, having a plan for that when you walk in is smart.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of those vendors and special attractions in a bit. But first, let's just talk about a very basic idea, which is how to actually play Commander at the Command Fest. Because we've been sort of talking around it. Yeah, you sit down and play. Well, what does that actually mean? Well, it turns out it's actually that simple. Typically, Command Fests are in a convention hall, and they'll have tables set up with tablecloths and seats around and open play areas. And this is what Command Fest Vegas had, right?
Yeah, it just has tons of tables as far as the eye can see, tables and chairs, and
hopefully a lot of players in them as well.
Yeah, there's tons of people there. It looks just like this, and you're just looking for other people to play Commander games with. And I know that can sound intimidating to a lot of people out there. Social interactions like this can make people anxious and can be tough, but it's actually very, very easy because once you get in, you realize, oh, everyone here is in the same position I'm in. They are here to play Magic. They're Magic players, and they're looking for other players. So the connections are actually a lot easier to make because it's as easy as just walking, hey, if you see a table and there's two people there, well, you usually need four to play Commander. It's usually like, are you looking for another player?
And I am, actually.
Yes, I am. And then it can be as easy as that. Or you're the one, you can sit down and put your playmat down, and it's obvious that that's a four-person table, and you're sitting there, and just... If you just sort of look at people as they walk by, I promise someone will be like, looking for a game? Yes, I am.
Yep.
It's a lot easier than you would think.
All of our staff, as you can see in this picture, were here, except for Lady. Sorry, we missed you.
I missed you guys.
But they were there, and you know, they would just set up, and here's Gaurav and Jordan, and they would say, hey, who wants to come play some Magic with us? Or they'll tweet out their location, and blammo, just like that, you get to sit across Jordan with his face Xeroxed on to his playmat. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah,
and you
guys
sit down and play. Now, another great question is, okay, once you're sitting down, do we have the talk? The rule zero, what is my deck? What is happening? And yeah, people I think at this point are really well accustomed to knowing what to bring to the table and having discussion around that. So that is all baked into this experience. And I think everyone going, if you didn't know, now you do.
Yeah, I think the rule zero conversation is pretty ubiquitous at this point. People are aware of it. It's not that hard as you're sitting down, you know, you're starting the game to just be like, so what's everybody thinking? What's the power level that we're looking for here? And everyone's just trying to find the same level there. You know, I saw in the chat somebody asked earlier, like, what types of decks should you bring to a Command Fest?
Which is a great question. I was waiting for this section for that question.
Yeah, which was a really good question to ask. And I think bringing a good range of power levels of decks is a good idea, just so that you can meet people where they are. So I like to bring, you know, something that's pretty low power level, something that, you know, we would call like a 4 or 5 that's around a pre-con power level, maybe slightly above that. Then I like to...
Could just be a pre-con, by the way.
Yeah, then I like to bring about 4 different steps above that. So one that's slightly above that, one that's slightly above that.
All the way to one very competitive deck.
I have one CEDH deck. Like, I own one of them. But at least I have that so that if the table says, oh, I've got a CEDH deck, somebody else goes, I have one too.
I've always wanted to play CEDH decks here. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I have one. I can play in this game. But I'm not going to play that CEDH deck in a game where everyone's like, oh, my deck is like, you know, basically a pre-con. I've changed out only like 10 or 15 cards. Okay, cool. I've got a deck for that.
Yeah.
So just being ready for the different scenarios, I think, can be really helpful.
Yeah, and that conversation too, it's evolving all the time. I find that the more time you take to talk to everyone before the game starts, those 5-10 minutes could be a huge difference maker, because the best play groups have some familiar, you know, feelings around the table, and so having that conversation and then really making sure you bring the right decks out will change a lot. So don't stress it. Just bring a lot of decks. Have a nice conversation. Tell people what you're running. I typically find the easiest metric these days is, are you tutor heavy or not? Because even a really, you know, lower power deck with a bunch of tutors will have the ways to stay alive and interact and do all those good things. So the more tutors, the higher power level. That's a general gauge that I've been using at these sorts of events and has worked really well.
A cool idea that I heard, and this I've stole this. This is from Olivia Gobert Hicks and Brian Kibler. They sort of mentioned this idea in passing, I think, which is to bring something like a flag or a little sign that says looking for players.
Yeah.
That's an easy way, if you could just put it down on a table where you're sitting, to just indicate. And then you don't have to ask individual people. If you just put something up that said that, then you're going to find players really, really quickly, because anybody walking by sees it and is like, I'm a player.
We have a digital flag in the form of Twitter, which is, you know, not as present when you look at them in person. But this is a great example, right?
There's Olivia and Kibler.
They're right across from Josh and Jimmy in the center of the hall. Come say hi. And that's why we're there, right? We want to meet you all and play games with you all. So
I didn't realize we were the landmark in the tweet. What if we moved, Olivia?
That's a good point. Actually, at that point, I think we'd form a line about 30 miles long around the convention hall. So.
I know from going to conventions in the past that a lot of people have badges and tags for their badges or pins to wear. So you can have a pin or a little banner on your badge that says ready to play, or like
I love
going online. You know, essentially like a little sign, a little lanyard that says that you're looking for a group of commander, or you know, you want modern, standard, whatever, and you can kind of have it with you. So if somebody's like, oh, I want to play. Oh, great. I'm ready to play. Let's go and sit down. So that's something you can keep with you, because landmarks do change.
Yep.
So landmarks aren't always, you know, something you can count on.
A lot of times there's numbers on table, and so on social media, people will put like the table number they're at.
Or the vendor they're across from. Yeah, totally.
I think a good tip might be to follow the hashtag of the event. So Command Fest Vegas was the hashtag. A lot of people are like saying where they are or what they're looking to do, and if you just sort by latest, you can often just, I'm in the hall, oh look, somebody's looking for to play modern at table 356. Cool, Like, I could go over there and find that. It's not only for, like, finding the influencers or whatever.
True.
Yeah, you can connect with people that way as well.
Yeah, and that's just, again, the beauty of Command Fest. It's, like, a very organic event, and they're really what the open play tables create is an environment for you to come sit down and find someone to play with or look around. A table just has finished playing a game, and all those players, all three of them who didn't win, want to win. So they're going to be looking for a new game. So it's great. Once you're in the flow of it and you're getting it going too, and you're just starting to go game after game, you're going to love it. I guarantee it.
Now, you don't only have to just find like random pickup games with casual people at these Command Fests. There are organized sort of events within the event that you can sign up for. They usually have some sort of entry cost, but they might have like a tournament. They might have like a two-headed giant tournament.
Or a competitive EDH tournament.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, any time you put competition around Commander, expect it to get competitive, I'd say.
Yeah, so they might say, like, we're going to have a tournament for Commander players at this time. You know, this is the entry fee. You show up, you meet at the gathering point. They've got this many players. They assign you to tables. They have a bracket, you know, set up. So they're going to, once people win, they're going to go on to the next stage and the next stage until we cut to, you know, top 8 or top 4 or whatever it is. And there's usually prizes for
prize
wins
wall.
Those events
and things
like that. So if you are more competitive minded, this is not something you have to do. Like, I went to the whole Command Fest Las Vegas and didn't participate in one of these tournaments. But if this is something that you think sounds fun, and it's also a way that you're not necessarily walking up and, like, asking strangers, like, hey, do you want to play? You're signing up for an event to play in. They're going to have that stuff available to you as well.
Yep. Just check the website again. They'll tell you what events there are, if there's, like, a plane chase event as well or a sealed booster, whatever it is. So if it intrigues you, go ahead and do it. That's the point of this, is to come and play Magic. It's kind of like a dream come true. I remember the first Magic Fest I went to. I was like, this is the best thing in the world.
Yeah,
I can do anything I want, and it all involves playing Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, if you go to your LGS, there might not be enough people there interested to get a two-headed giant tournament of Commander going,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're lucky if you find another two people that want to do that. But now you're in a room that has thousands and thousands of Commander players, and if you want to have a two-headed giant tournament, can I find, you know, seven other groups of two to have a little tournament about this? Probably
you
can
betcha.
In that environment. So,
you
yeah,
betcha.
It's a pretty unique experience. I do want to say, when you're playing in one of these organized events at a Command Fest, it's important to keep in mind that there are generally prizes involved because there's an entry fee. They're organizing it for you. They've got the judges there and things, and they're usually saying, like, whoever gets first place or maybe the top two or three are going to win tickets to the prize wall or something like that. And in that environment, you just need to be aware that people are going to play to win, and so you're going to have to bring, you know, your high-powered CEDH level Commander decks in order to really expect to have
win,
a good time at those events. Like, I've heard of people go into these tournaments and be like, well, they just comboed out on me on turn three. It wasn't any fun.
There are prizes. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's like, well, listen, if you're playing to win, now all of a sudden the parameters are different. There's no rule zero conversation. Like,
it might be a little less for the two-headed giant tournament, but I would still expect people to be, again, playing to win because there's a prize ticket at the end. You can get something cool off the prize wall, a booster pack, whatever it may be. So,
yeah, there are stakes. So now all of a sudden people need to win. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go on to our next tip, though. This one's really important, especially if you're going to be playing a bunch of events. Don't do this. This is a good one.
Yeah, this tip is don't bring too many decks to the hall with you.
Don't deck the halls.
Yeah, don't. It's easy to think like, oh, I'm going to play 20 games of Commander today. I should bring all these different decks because I want to have the choice of, you know, I don't want to play any of my deck twice or whatever. And you have to think of it like, first of all, it's heavy to carry around 12 or 15 decks. This is a thing that's valuable that you have to keep an eye on as well.
Very valuable.
The first couple of big Magic events I went to, I remember my neck was really sore.
Oh my gosh.
Like, to the point of, like, you know how you have to, like, turn your head like Batman?
Because you just, like,
weird on
cowl.
You know how Batman, like,
You got Batman deck neck.
I like Batman when he has to look up. This is Batman looking up. Because So I remember like the first couple of events and I was like, why does my neck hurt so bad? And I realized like I'm carrying 20 Magic decks with me in a backpack that I'm often like shifting back
going
and
for the
forth.
World record.
Yeah,
right?
It's just a lot of weight, you know, and I started bringing less decks each day. I would only bring, my maximum is 6, but I usually bring like 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Because I just want to, like I said, have
a good choice.
Yeah, those power levels covered, but I only need one at each power level.
Right. And by the way, tomorrow, you're going to come back, right?
Yep. And so I bring, it doesn't mean I only bring 4 or 5 decks to the entire event.
Right.
I might bring 12, but I'm only bringing, on Friday, I'm only bringing 4, and then I'm going to switch out for a different 4 on Saturday. And then, because, listen,
This is a good point.
How long does a commander game take?
An hour?
And that's a pretty quick
minimum?
One. Right?
If you're lucky. Yeah. If you're lucky.
You're not going to play 20. That's like, you're not going to play 20 hours of Commander today. You're going to play six is a lot. Seven, eight. Like, you're going to eat in there. The convention hall is not open for that. So you don't need that many decks. And God forbid you have to play one of the decks twice. Not the worst thing. Trust me, it's worth it to save your neck. You don't want to be doing this.
Yeah, it's a good one. You don't want to Batman call around the world, especially on that second day when you need to save your energy. Pace yourself, as with any good convention.
Yeah.
And that goes for your decks as well. Don't bring too many. No, you can switch them out. Hey, look, when we stayed at the Westgate, which is where Command Fest Vegas was, you could conceivably also walk to your room and switch out over lunch. So there are ways to do it. Just don't overstress yourself and don't get your stuff taken, right? Just be protective. Bring what you need.
The less you have with you, the less you kind of have to worry about keeping safe the whole time.
Very true.
That's another thing. I would say it's overestimated the ability to walk back or get back to your hotel, drop stuff off, and come back to the convention hall. In your mind, that's like, oh, that'll take me 15, 20 minutes. It's an hour and a half. Like, it just is. Like, even if you can walk it, that's just the way that it goes.
Yeah, you take a little break when you get back.
Because there's people everywhere, and, like, it's hot, and you're tired, and you're like, oh, and it ends up taking you 30 minutes to get back to your room, which you did not account in how long it was going to take you to go switch things out.
And when you get there, you're like, you're going to sit down for a second, you're maybe going to, like,
take
get
a
drink of water. Yeah,
All right, we're in the naps now.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
That's my favorite part of the day. Yeah.
That's my favorite commander game I played today, was the nap I took.
All right, we'll be right back with more discussion from this live episode, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right, we're back. Let's continue now with Command Zone Live.
All right. Well, another big part of Command Fest and Magic Fest are special guests and attractions. So obviously, Josh and I guess we get to consider ourselves special guests. We were at Command Fest Vegas. We met hundreds of people. It was an absolute blast. But these are big events, and they tend to draw in a lot of well-known Magic creators and people from the community, including staff as well, pro players. Cassius Marsh, a football player, was there. It's always fun to see Cassius walking around.
Yeah, Las Vegas had a bunch of people. Cassius was definitely there. Joe Johnson.
Jacob Bertrand, our very own Cobra Kai.
Yep, Jacob was there. Olivia
Kyle
Kibler,
was there.
Or, Kyle Hill
Kyle
was there.
Hill, that's right. Kibler, Olivia. Here's Cassius playing a fan at an event. I think it was one of the older GP Vegases. So.
Yeah, it was one of the spell slinging events, I think, from then.
Yeah, that's really great because, you know, there are special events happening where you can actually play against people. Playing with Power was recording content at Command Fest Vegas. They had their camera up, and that was really, what a great opportunity to bring in some players in real life when you've just been playing on spell table, right?
Yeah, you might be able to like show up on one of their YouTube channel on one of their games. I don't know exactly how they were choosing who was playing in that stuff, but it's one of the draws, I think, of these events is you're going to be able to interact with people you've seen in the community, you've watched their content. Like, you know, you can come up and hang out with Jimmy and I, maybe even play some games with us. I was playing games with fans the whole weekend. It was super fun.
Yeah.
So this is like a pretty cool opportunity to get to interact with the people that you've been following and been supporting and been fans of for a long time.
And great for also, you know, new channels to meet other new channels.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point. If you are a content creator, something like a Command Fest is a really good way to sort of network and get to know a lot of the other content creators. In fact, many of the content creators we've worked with over the years were people we met at Vegas. So like the Loading Ready Run people who are good friends of ours and we love, really it was the Vegas events where we got a chance to get to know them, and so many other people in the community, that is the reason that we know them. So it's a great opportunity to interact with all those people. Here's the next tip though, and it's a good one because if you don't have this, I'm sure you've run into the people.
It can be so it's like a quest in itself.
Yeah. So bring a Sharpie and
bring stuff to get signed
and bring something for that Sharpie to be used on. Yeah.
Yeah. Including t-shirts, by the way. Here's Coalesce. It's Cedric's company.
Oh yeah. I did sign some Coalesce t-shirts.
We did.
While
yeah.
T-shirts are hard to sign.
Yeah. So they slip around. It's better when it's on someone's back sometimes, honestly. A Sharpie is so important if you have a card, a playmat, a deck box, anything really that you want to get signed by someone you meet there. We get requests all the time. One person brought in, and this was brilliant, they just had like 10 command towers, and they would give a different one to each person assigned, and that way they have a card they know is going in every deck.
Yeah.
When they draw it, they're going to be like, this is the Josh one. Cool.
Yeah, I love that as such a smart idea to just bring a stack of command towers with you. It's not an expensive
Soul Rings
card
too, right?
to get a hold of, and you know you're going to put one in each of your commander decks, and so that was somebody who just like readily had a thing for each person they ran into to be able to sign. They didn't have to like think about it. A lot of people will have like one playmat that they're having everybody, you know, I would get the playmat and would already have Jimmy's signature, Kyle's signature, Cassius' signature, Jacob's signature.
I signed things twice by accident.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I already signed this, but I'll add how's it to it like that. But that is a really smart to come prepared with a thing you want to have signed and a signing utensil because I try to keep a Sharpie on me, but people walk off with them on accident or whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, I would sign that, but I don't have a way to do it.
Yeah, it's like a Frisbee in college. You never really have one, but you sometimes have someone else's. So bring your own Sharpie. I've seen people bring like special gold ones too. Make sure that you test it out in the card beforehand so you know it works, because I've had ones that kind of smudge. I'm like, oh no, you know.
Oh, here's a bonus tip. The Sharpie will smudge on the card, so what you need to do is like shake it like a Polaroid picture afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
If you
more useful to the Sharpie than
if
the
you
Polaroid,
put it in the sleeve right away, it can smudge, and I've seen that happen, and it really can be heartbreaking. So
look at this playmat. This is great. So this is someone that probably in the midway through the convention, they've gotten a bunch of us to sign it. Josh on the left with How's It, and me on the right.
Yep. So
tokens are also really great to get signed.
Great call.
Tokens are great. Deck boxes. A lot of people have the interior of the deck box, so they flip it open and have you sign like the inside of the deck box, which I really like. Hats, shirts, cards, whatever it is, just think about it and be prepared because you are going to run into some people that you've seen and probably want to take a picture with and get something signed. And, you know, that is what we're there for when we're there. So it's not like Joe Johnson goes to Command Fest Las Vegas and doesn't know that he's going to run into people who recognize him, right? Like, we know that's going to happen, and that's one of the reasons that we're going to interact with the community. We love it if you come up to us. If you're a patron or something of Command Zone, please let us know those things, because that is, you know, something that's important to us, and we like to know that we're, or course, we have people all the time. They're like, I've watched since the very first episode.
Oh,
like,
my goodness. Yeah.
Another great tip for that, though, is like name tags. If you can wear a name tag that has your Twitter handle on it or your Patreon name or something like that, with your pronouns, all of that. So when you go up and you meet some of these special guests and you've interacted with them online, you can be like, oh, I'm so-and-so from Twitter. And then you see, sometimes you have to see the name to recognize it because it doesn't sound the same. And they're like, and then you're like, oh, yes, I know, I've talked to you. And so that's actually extremely helpful. I saw it coming out of Vegas, people being like, where your name? Tell me your name.
That's so true. I've definitely been met somebody and I'm talking to them and they say, I'm so-and-so on Twitter. And you're like, oh, I've talked to you before. Like, we've interacted. Like, I know you. Yeah. So definitely letting the influencers and the people know that is a really good idea.
That's a really good quality.
But don't feel bashful about going up and sort of asking for, you know, the picture and the, and that's why everybody's there.
Yeah. We will even sign cards that are high in value.
Oh, boy.
Even though I'd rather sign the penny sleeve.
I'd rather sign a command tower or like an island. I will sign a Vidal Canori if you really, really want me to.
Josh, you'll sign a foil Vidal Canori.
I'd rather sign the sleeve.
Lady, have you signed some crazy cards before?
I haven't signed any crazy cards, but I honestly think it's kind of cool to have all your basic lands signed by some of your favorite content creators. And so that way it's like all your lands. And then you get to kind of like use that as a thing.
Yeah.
It hurts me every time I have to sign like a Blood Moon or a Vidal Canori, like, and they make me sign it on the card. I'm damaging the card. Like,
I'm bullish on you, Josh. I think in 10 years, you're going to be an international superstar. And that signature will be worth something.
I did get to sign two playmats while I was in New Zealand, like in a original OG Command Zone playmat. I was like, this is amazing.
That's great. Yeah, we love, by the way, to meet our patrons. That's another reason why ladies comment about having your Twitter handle or your patron name is so important. I've even had someone come and be like, this is me, and they show me on Twitter and an interaction we had, and I was like, oh, great. I know exactly who you are. Thank you for telling me.
Another type of like attraction or personality that is often at these events are cosplayers as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lady, you've cosplayed at events. Mm-hmm. In fact, that Aurelia, I think, is the first time I became aware of, like, I knew, like, I saw the name Lady Danger.
Yeah. Oh, I did Aurelia for, I think it was TwitchCon or Mythic Invitational or something like that. Nice. And it was amazing to meet everybody and get to hang out with and have them take pictures with me in the giant Karn. It was so cool.
Oh, the Karn. That's right.
Yeah, the Karn.
So, there's often a lot of people who've spent a lot of time in their costumes. They look really awesome. Walking around these events, you know, interacting with people, it's another good picture taking opportunity and things like that.
Yeah, and you know, be respectful for cosplayers. Don't touch the costume.
Oh, that's a big thing, right? Like, yeah, definitely.
They put a lot of work into it, and it may, you know, be delicate as well.
And then, of course, there are other events that sort of also have to do with the special guests, which can be things like panels, live podcast episodes. At bigger events, they've even had things like they had the Magic Art Show where they took a lot of the classic artwork and made like an art gallery. A lot of times, Wizards of the Coast people are at these events. It's not just influencers and content creators. So, you know, they might do panels with Mark Rosewater or Gavin Verhey, people that are designing the game, so you can get a special insight into, you know, and be there live and ask them questions as they talk about designing the game. Yeah, there's Mark and Aaron right there. So, and we've done live podcast episodes at some of these before.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Magic 30, we're probably going to be doing some stuff like this. So, there's definitely the chance to kind of see some of the content you watch get made or learn some more things about the game from behind the scenes and things like that.
Yeah, again, it's not just playing Magic at the end of it. There's a lot of networking, a lot to be learned, especially at the bigger events. Magic 30 is probably going to have a bunch. I know at Penny Arcade Expo, Mark's talk or anytime that Wizards does a panel is one of the most attended. So there's always some fun stuff that gets announced, and you get to learn a lot along the process.
Yeah, so lots of cool stuff with special guests and attractions. That isn't the only thing. Oh, there's Gavin with a huge oversized card.
Love that.
That reminds me of the story with Jacob I'm going to tell right here, which so Jacob Bertrand, the Hawk from Cobra Kai, he was at Command Fest Vegas, and what was the card, the oversized card he wanted?
It was Miriam, I believe, the new
the
dragon.
The one you played on
the Teamer Baldur's Dragon they play on Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, so he evidently has built that deck
It's become one of the most popular decks almost instantly.
So there's the oversized card of Miriam at the prize wall.
Same size you just saw Gavin holding.
He decides, like, I want that. And so he's like, trying to play as many drafts as possible and just wheeling and dealing with everybody we know to get prize tickets.
He needs a lot of prize tickets, and by the time he decided he wanted it was the end of the first day. So he was late to the party and was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to grind my way to get this.
So he did. He gets enough prize tickets. He goes to the prize wall to get the card, and somebody has already purchased it with prize tickets before him.
Oh, no.
So he can't get it.
But I heard he did get the name or the number of the person that did get it, and he was going to try and like work out a deal where maybe
like
he could buy it
from him. Like a true collector. There he is. There, you guys are about to take a little jet out to Vegas. Jacob, he's just such a blast to meet in person, and he also, I know, had a great time meeting fans and talking to people and playing games with them as well at Command Fest.
I mean, he spent a lot of time. Like, I was surprised. Like, he was in the convention hall playing Magic like all day, every day.
I mean,
he's a grinder when it comes to Magic. Like, he will sit there and play all day.
Yeah. He is a gamer.
Okay, so there's other stuff also still going on, right? So one of the really cool things I think about all these big live events is the artists that are often there. So they'll usually have like an artist alley.
Yeah.
I think at Command Fest Vegas, Mark Poole was there.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the artists. They're physically there. They usually have prints of their artwork.
Playmats, they'll have special artist-proof print cards that you can buy from them.
Oh, yeah, the artist-proof cards, if you haven't seen them, when an artist does a Magic card that goes into production...
They get a proof.
They get a proof, so they send them like a stack of that card, but it has no back. It has a white back on the back of it.
Yeah, and on that back, sometimes you can have them draw stuff. So there's lots of really cool commissions that can happen with the artists there. And not just artists, there's also vendors. So people that will be selling just straight up prints like this. I believe this is from Mark Poole's stand.
Yeah, this is from his area.
Yeah.
And if you have Mark Poole there, a lot of times you can have Mark not just sign your playmat, but maybe do a little drawing or an illustration or doodle on your playmat. Or
I have
a friend who they go to all the Magic Live events for years, and when there's an artist there that they haven't interacted with before, they have these blank cards that they have each artist do like a custom token.
Oh.
Just a doodle, but nice. Like, so they've got one from Christopher Rush, and they've got one from like
amazing.
From
over
the years. Yeah. That's just like, hey, you know, can you make a soldier token or whatever? And it's quickly drawn and everything, but it's signed and everything like that. So that's a thing you can do if you have artists that you really like, or iconic artwork from cards that you really like speak to you.
Yeah. And here you're seeing some of the vendors. There's also a lot of card shops that'll come out and put all their cards out on display. They'll sit there and they'll trade with you. They'll give you store credit as well as just be able to buy your cards off you on buy lists. And so there's going to be some of these there as well. Great place to find hard to find cards, like seeing a real Mox in person alpha. Here are all these dual lands, right? So if you're looking to do more pickups or even trade up to a pickup, there's a great place to do it.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about Command Fest, because depending on where you're located, you might not have access to LGSs that have a lot of like this really high-end stuff or everything you're looking for. And usually at these big events, there are multiple vendors and they bring a lot of stuff. So we had some people from our team who were going to Command Fest with some of their own cards to trade in, to try and trade up to things like dual lands and things like that. So how cool is it if you take a bunch of your fetch lands and some other rares you've gotten over the, you know, last few months or whatever, open in drafts or whatever it is, and you're able to trade up into a tropical island or something and take that home. And that's pretty common, I'd say.
Yeah, I love that.
So yeah, access to the vendors is kind of a big deal just because there's going to be a bunch of stuff there that you just don't get to see very often or get a chance to get your hands on.
Yep. Here's some t-shirts as well. There's lots of fun little Magic puns out there.
Yeah, Cedric had his Coalesce apparel company had a booth
in Vegas,
I saw a lot of people wearing those shirts by the end of the weekend. They were very popular.
We even signed a couple. Yeah. All right, another big thing is that outside of the event itself, a lot of players have gathered in the same town or wherever it is, city, to play Magic and, you know, see each other. So there are after-hours events that sometimes happen and events that maybe a company will throw, or in this last case, we threw a small event as well.
Yeah, there's after-hours stuff. There's outside events. A lot of times there are, like, after-hours parties that are tied to the event. So Channel Fireball might throw, like, a VIP party.
Oh, yeah, for anyone that bought the VIP package. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have, you know, sometimes there's additional cost for additional pass that will let you into these events. They usually have, you know, a higher ratio of, like, the special guest type people, the wizards people.
And they won't be playing games as much as just talking and meeting and taking pictures and having fun, you know.
But it's a chance to hang out. But also, like, just content creators all the time will be like, hey, we're in town for this event. We'd like to have a meetup with our fans and supporters. We're going to meet here at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
We do things like that. So this is a picture of a dinner that we had, and we had about 80 people that we invited.
That's awesome.
And yeah, we had just a big night out. If we ran into patrons and we still had room, we invited them. You know, all our friends in content creation world and wizards people and whatever, we invited them. And it was just a fun night to get to hang out. And this is just outside of the event. This is an after hours little party that we threw. And this is the kind of thing that does happen at these events. And also just like doesn't have to be this big, right? You're, mm-hmm. you're in a huge room with thousands of Magic players. You're going to probably play some pickup Commander games with people you yeah. never met before. And a lot of times it's like, what's everybody doing tonight? Do you want to go to dinner? Do you want to draft later? I don't know how many drafts I've done at somebody's hotel room.
Yeah. Or hotel lobby.
Yeah, hotel lobby. Like, just everybody get together. We've got 8 people here. Does somebody have a box of something? Okay, let's draft it tonight.
Yeah, other people, because they're in Vegas or wherever, they'll want to go see a show or just sightseeing or just go to the spa or whatever it is. So definitely feel free to make those plans with your new friends. But this actually goes right into our next tip, which is if you are going to go and eat dinner at places, well, again, a lot of players just descended upon a city. It may help to make some dinner reservations.
This is a pro tip. Make dinner reservations. Once you've booked your badge and you know you're going, this is my philosophy. It's very easy to cancel a dinner reservation.
True.
It is very difficult to get a dinner reservation last minute, especially on Friday and Saturday nights in most cities, which is when these events are usually taking place.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you just look ahead, hey, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be here for this event. Just make dinner reservations for 6, 8, 10 people at a couple of restaurants. You know, you can do a quick Yelp search for the best restaurant or whatever kind of food. And you don't have to go to that dinner reservation. If Friday morning or Friday during the day, you find out there's something else going on, you're going to go, you call up, you cancel your reservation, no big deal.
Great, yeah.
But often what happens is Friday around 3 or 4 o'clock, everyone's looking around being like, what are we doing
for dinner
tonight? What are we doing tonight? And you can be the person that's like, well, I have 10 seats at Fogo de Chao.
I have 4 seats at this restaurant next by. Or, hey, I was just going to go do this drive over. Who wants to come?
And trust me, you will make a lot of friends in that moment. That is a good way to like meet people and have people around you that you can then draft with after dinner or hang out with or whatever.
And there also might be some locals there that have great recommendations and can help you get a reservation. So making those friends, really important. Here we're going to Lobster Me, which is down the strip.
That place is really good.
Yeah, great.
It's also super helpful for places that aren't as big as Vegas, that maybe are a little bit smaller and they don't have necessarily the capacity to take the same amount of people that are going to be coming in.
Good point.
So getting those reservations in early, so you're like, I need a table for 20 people. And they're like, oh, we don't usually do that. And you're like, well, you can now.
Yeah. Right. And I get you. Yeah.
It's a really good point, especially because what happens near the end of the days is everyone's leaving the convention hall at about the same time. There's these huge groups and they tend to wander around to the closest restaurants, like cafes that are right next to the convention hall or whatever. And you can be stuck there trying to, you know, wait for 2.5 hours to get a table at some place, which is the worst.
Hungry.
Yeah. You're a hero if you're like, oh, we don't have to do that. I have reservations at a place, you know, just down the street.
Yeah.
And I already planned for this. So, yeah, make Love reservations.
That. Yep. Great way to make friends. Great.
Another tip that's sort of involved with food and things like that. Can you tell I'm always thinking about food, Jimmy?
Yes. Yeah, me too. I'm thinking about food now that you mentioned it. What am I doing for dinner? Now, tip number 6, though, is bring snacks, hand sanitizer, refillable water bottles, life pads, pencils, extra sleeves like we talked about earlier. Basically, make sure you have what you need to also keep going throughout the day, because playing Magic, it's a big strain on your brain.
Yeah, it's actually my picture. It's all my stuff that I bring to pre-releases or any big events, stuff like that.
Yeah, so, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, you're looking at sleeves. I have a little binder, a little trade binder that I keep with me, a pad of paper, because your phone will die. Bring a power bank.
Yeah.
Those are also really important. I have a bunch
power
of
brick. That's a good idea.
Power brick. Yeah. Might seem crazy, but chapstick is really, really helpful.
Especially if you're in Las Vegas. Let me
you're
tell you, it's
Vegas
dry
or
out
you're
there,
talking
yeah.
a lot, things like that. Life counters, various ways to keep life counters. A bottle that has a lid on it you don't spill on all of your really, really nice cards and things like that. And I also like to keep, I usually have 2 bags, so I have like all my cards, and then I have a secondary bag that I can keep like tokens and all of my snacks in, so they don't coalesce together. And it makes a huge difference. And that way, if you want to pick up pins or anything like that that you don't want to put with all your deck boxes, you can kind of have it off to the side and kind of keep it on you at all times with your wallet and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, I like to bring just like a little thing of beef jerky, like a Clif bar, maybe some like Goldfish crackers. Just have that in my bag, because a lot of times, the food options at convention halls are, A, not that great. It's like pizza.
And expensive sometimes,
and
too.
And usually very expensive. And also often very crowded, just because it's the only option. It's the only game in town. And so you can... And then it's a Commander game, so you might start a game and think, I'm going to go to lunch after this game. I'm starting to get kind of hungry. And what if that game goes for 2 hours rather than 60 minutes or whatever? It's nice to be able to just open your bag, chomp down at Clif Bar. You'll make it now to
drink some water.
Yeah. Yep. It's easy to just be busy doing stuff in the convention hall and kind of realize you're getting dehydrated And just a little snack and a quick drink of water can really like save you. You don't want to get hangry, right?
Like, I keep electrolyte packets with me as well. Smart. So you can put it in your water while you're drinking to kind of like keep going. And I personally keep deodorant in my bag. Like
Definitely put some deodorant in there if you need it. Yeah.
I mean, you're carrying around sweaty. Cards the whole day.
I'm going to get stinky and sweaty. And if I'm going to get stinky and sweaty, I know everybody else is.
You're going to be in that hall maybe like 8 hours plus carrying around like heavy cards and things like that. Yeah. It's smart to just be prepared and think of it as like, I'm just going to want some provisions available to me. And worst case scenario or best case scenario, if I like leave and go get lunch and come back and I don't eat those snacks, no big deal. Like I have them ready for the next day.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize too that your brain burns the most calories out of everything else. And magic is a mental game.
It's a big brain game.
Yeah. And so you're going to need that extra little boost, electrolytes, whatever it is. So great tip there.
All right. The moral of this whole story, though, is that these events are like super, super fun.
They're
great.
We
go to as many as we can. We've been going to them for years. If you're anxious, I know a lot of people get anxious in big social situations, and looking at the pictures of this huge crowds can be anxiety-inducing.
Overwhelming,
Trust me, when you get into the hall, you realize that it really is just a bunch of people who are a lot like you. They're just Magic players. They love to play Commander. They're looking for games. They're looking to have fun. And you really have a great time and make some lifelong friends there, too. So many people that we've met over the years at these conventions that we still keep in contact with.
Yeah, they're a huge reason why we're here, too, and keep doing what we do is because we get to meet players and play with them. So if you want to come up and say hi, that's why we're there. And, you know, maybe we can even get a game in. We'll see.
Yeah, I like to kind of think of it like summer camp for adults.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
It feels like summer camp felt when I was a kid. Yep. I love summer camp, so.
Bonus tip, though, because when you're on your way to summer camp, you may go through airport security and.
We got one last tip for you, a bonus tip.
I love this picture. The guy's like, look, magic cards.
So traveling with magic cards through TSA or through airport security, you imagine if your deck box goes through an x-ray machine, it just looks like a solid square
brick
mass. Yeah, which is the kind of thing that TSA security is on the lookout for. So one thing that we've learned over the years of just going through security a lot with magic cards is if you just let the TSA agent know as you're sort of taking your bag out, hey, I have decks of cards here. They're magic cards. I'm going to take the decks out and put them in the box.
Like you would with a laptop, by the way. You're doing this with your shoes and stuff anyway, so.
Yeah, just let them know. And a lot of times that'll save you that extra time it would take for it to go through the x-ray. Then they flag it. Then you got to go over there. They got to do a search of the whole thing. A lot of times they'll look at it in the moment, sort of pull them out, put it through the x-ray, and let the x-ray person know. And that'll make it a lot more smooth sailing.
Yeah, also, and it's easier for them too.
Yeah, also consider the cards that you're bringing with you that somebody else that might not know what magic cards possibly have to handle. So that could be a consideration and when you're packing exactly what decks you're bringing.
Definitely. Yeah, easy making sure you can remove it and all that stuff, yeah. Or unzip it and even let them see.
All right, okay. That was the bonus tip. That's going to wrap up our discussion about big live magic events. Hopefully you got something out of it. Hopefully you're going to plan to go to one of these at some point. They are awesome.
Yeah, but before we actually get into the Q&A, we wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about Double Masters 2022. A lot of twos, by the way, coming up in this set. And it seems serendipitous because this set is really exciting. And I don't know if you've all seen some of the preview cards, but boy, oh boy, this is built for us.
This set looks insane. We just had to discuss it a little bit because I just wanted to gush about how insane the reprints are.
Things that a lot of people have been asking for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Here's the highlight, of course.
Of course, Vidalcan Orrery. This was one of our preview cards. We got to show it off on Twitter. And this borderless version is
stunning.
A new version that's never existed before, which I'm super excited about, but also a little like, do I have to get one of these versions for all of my decks now?
And you're probably going to sign quite a few too,
I need 20 of them then, yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't just stop there. Portal 3 Kingdoms reprints Imperial Seal and Warrior's Oath, two cards that are just insane to think
have. Imperial Seal, I don't have one.
No, like,
This is.
I have a Demonic Tutor. I do not have this, though.
So this is a card that just has... Has it ever seen a reprint? I don't think it's ever seen a reprint.
I don't think so, no. It's just in Portal 3 Kingdoms, which is known as one of the least printed sets of all time from way back in the day. It was almost a specialty novelty set.
Yeah, so this is just a card that nobody really has, and now people are going to be able to get a hold of. Warrior's Oath is... I need one of these for my Obeka deck.
Yeah, so this is, again, we've seen a lot of this effect before. I'm a big fan of, like, the Final Fortune, Last Chance type cards as a red player. So this, again, was from Portal 3 Kingdoms. Also, a lot of people don't know, but Three Visits was where that was also where it was first printed, that classic ramp spell.
I think the biggest reprint, though, has to be Dockside Extortionist.
Dockside is back,
this
baby.
Is something we've been asking for years now. It was only originally printed in a Commander product, has never been reprinted, and now we have...
multiple versions of it, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely like something that a lot of Commander players need in their decks. It's one of the most powerful cards in the format, and just the ability to sort of get your hands on more of them, I think I'm really excited about.
And now there's three different versions of it, so it's even more accessible.
I only own one, by the way. I bought one of the precons when they came out, and that's where my doc set came from.
I think I have two, because I bought the precon, and then I bought one like kind of early on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but so now very you're going to have,
I don't know, three.
And not just Dockside. Yeah, thanks. Maybe. No, I'm going to crack this open like crazy. It's going to be great.
Three is a lot. I was giving you a lot of credit.
You're manifesting
Jimmy
it.
Is very lucky opening booster packs, I want to say.
Yeah. Don't take it from me. Not just that, but speaking of treasures, we also have Smothering Tithe being reprinted. This card is, again, one of the most powerful cards in the format. Look at this art.
This art is amazing.
This art is dope.
I just love how they're going for the big, bold colors, right? Vidalcan already had that purple. This is that gold and that hand.
That might be the same hand from our logo.
Oh, God.
That's canon now.
Yeah. Wearing all the rings of power, apparently, too.
What's the reprint you're most excited about?
For me, I don't know. I love the Eldrazi Titans, even though Emrakul is not legal, the one that they're reprinting, but the other two are pretty amazing. And they have new arts for them as well, so I'm kind of like an Ashlyn fanboy now. but there's also Mana Drain being reprinted, and that to me is really exciting because it's pretty good, and I don't have very many.
Well, how about you, lady? What's the reprint from the set that you're most excited about?
Mine for sure is Allosaurus Shepherd.
Yeah,
I like the new art on the Borderless, the Jurassic World.
It's so good. That's amazing.
This was only printed in Jumpstart, which is why it is so hard to find, and it's a good card, right?
It's a great card. I play elves all the time, and it is an amazing card to have.
Yeah, pretty strong.
And just as the preview season for this set was going on, it's like your eyes kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, wait, what?
Are you what Teferi's about you, Protection? Is in there? Yeah. Well, mine's without Ganori, obviously, but...
Teferi's Protection. With this art looks incredible, too.
That's a card I only have a couple of, right?
Yeah.
Because it was in the Commander product, and if you bought that precon, you got it. And then after that, it was just hard to find.
It's like every single time they put something out, you're like, they can't put out anything better than that. And then you're like, they put out Food Chain?
Food Chain's great. When I saw, because I thought Food Chain
Concordant
was a
Crossroads
card.
Too.
Yeah.
Oh, Concordant Crossroads. Yeah. I totally forgot. Oh my gosh. This set's insane. Anyway, so yeah, that's what we have to say about it. It's crazy.
Really crazy.
I'm really excited because I think a lot of these are cards that are, like Teferi's Protection and Dockside Extortion and Smothering Tithe are things that you shouldn't be held back from being able to play them in your deck.
100%.
So hopefully people will be able to get their hands on
them. Yeah, and for the players that are more the, hey, I need more Force Negations, you're also getting that reprint in this set too. So
the modern players? Like, because it's a modern
players,
card, right?
Yeah, I mean,
so
I
need these so I can get into that
goodness.
Beta draft at Magic 30.
You're going for it?
My modern deck's
we can make a documentary about Josh's path to modern. Yeah. We'll get Kessler.
It'll be our next episode.
Rocky Balboa.
Really.
Yeah. Oracle of Moldiah, that's right.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah. So many great, great reprints in this set. So I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. We're going to wrap it up here with a little bit of Q&A from the chat here.
Yeah,
lady, what do you got for us?
Collecting all episodes.
I got a few questions. Okay. Our first question is from Kenny. What's the best way to approach Josh and the Command Zone crew at public events?
Oh, good. I'm not in this. Don't approach me.
You're included
in
it.
I'm just kidding.
It's very simple. I think just come on up and just be like, hey, I'm so-and-so.
Yeah. And also, we'll know if someone comes up to say hi, we're not going to be like, don't talk to me. We'll go, great, this is why we're here. So if you come up and say hi, we'll say hi back and get the conversation going. Easy as that.
Yeah, it's super, super easy. If you got something you'd like to sign, just be like, I was wondering if you could sign this, or I'd like to take a picture. I'd like to get a game in. If we're playing games at that time, then definitely a lot of times it will be like, I'm ready to play a game. I'll just sit down and people that come up and go, you want to get a game in? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. Don't be apprehensive about it at all.
Yeah. And same with the Command Zone crew. I think it's, feel bad if you want to say hi, right? Like, we would say hi. I would say hi to Josh if I watched the Command Zone, and I'm sure Josh would, right? You want to say hi to me, right?
I'd probably say
the crew usually has swag. Everybody usually has swag that you can come up.
That's
like
an
if
even
you can't find a way to like
to
start a conversation, be like, I hear you have a bunch of swag that you can check out. So
that's something we do with our crew is we give everybody a little swag package, and then if you say the words "only one may stand" to any of the Command Zone people, then they will give you some of the swag.
Some of it, yeah. It's a great way.
That's the thing we do, and we post that on social media. It's also to help you have a way to start the conversation, because we know that can be tough.
Yeah.
So coming up and just saying, hey, only one may stand, they give you some stuff. And then, you know, usually we're pretty good about being like, hey, what's your name? You know,
yeah, where are you from? What decks did you bring? Yeah, all that good stuff.
You're talking to Magic players, so another thing you can always just ask about Magic cards, like, hey, what decks did you bring? What, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, we're there to show up all throughout the weekend, so if you don't guess on the first time around, or there's a group of people talking, you can wait a little bit, come back later as well, so we're there for y'all, and hopefully we'll be able to play some games, too.
Yeah. All right, we got our next question from that name I cannot pronounce. What are your favorite side events that you've done in the past?
Ooh, KFPF Falcon.
KFP Falcon. I couldn't read that fast, so.
KFC Falcon.
What are your favorite side events that you've ever done in the past? Well, Jimmy, you did that, like, draft across time.
Yeah, I ended up not doing a bunch of them because I wanted to just keep the packs for chaos drafting later.
Can you explain what it was?
So, though? Yeah, it was an incredible event where basically every single set that you could draft, you would be able to draft that set. You'd buy a whole package and you'd get three boosters from, you know, all whatever the current set was then, Magic 2019 or whatever, all the way back to, I think,
it had like Ravnica and stuff, original Ravnica. And stuff.
They went really far back. Morningtide, Lorwyn, all those sets. Obviously not all the way back. I think Ice Age is the furthest they went back.
They didn't do like every set, but they did something from each era or a few from each era.
They tried to cover as much as possible. And that was basically, if you were into do it, you'd do the whole weekend. But I told them in front of the time, I was like, hey, I want to play other events, so I'm actually just going to get the booster packs because later on I want to chaos draft them.
Mm, do you still have those?
Yes.
When are we chaos
drafting? You didn't chaos draft, Jimmy.
Where are they, and can we chaos draft? That's the next question.
I think I'll find a special event to bust them out at.
I think the favorite event I ever did was we participated in the largest tabletop gaming tournament of all time, and I believe that was 2017 Modern
Masters. Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, 2015?
Yeah, 2016, I think. No.
It was, they're only odd numbered, right? So I think
yeah,
it's
15
or 17.
Yeah, that's right, 2 years, yeah.
Whatever the biggest one was, we did the sealed event, and it was like, they had to have two separate tournaments that like...
To even cover everyone, yeah.
And it was like over 10,000 people total. I only played one round, and then I stopped,
I went
but
six,
just to say I was in it.
And I think I was like 5-0 or something, and I lost two in a row, and I was like, I'm done, this, I can't do it.
Yeah, you almost made day two.
I didn't even try
for day two.
Yeah.
Was it like a world, like... Ripley's
world record.
Yeah, there we go.
I think it's still the record for the biggest tabletop game.
That was the year that Rolling Stone covered it as well. So, yeah.
Oh,
that was
really
definitely
cool.
My favorite event of all of them, for sure.
All right.
Any more questions?
Yep, we got one more from Brendan Reyes. What are some of the coolest decks you've seen at events?
I played against somebody a few years ago at an event who had an All Tribes deck that was really cool.
Nice.
Which was trying to sort of use all the best tribal like bonuses through like changelings and some other stuff. So you would stack like the best vampire tribal bonus with the best dragon one and with the best zombie one all in one creature kind of. It was a pretty cool deck. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen so many decks now. I can't even sort of fathom what are the coolest decks. I think if anything, I love the way that people like present the decks to be like, I'm going to go into the dungeon. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Like choose one. I'm like, oh, that's great. So I love that too, that people want to have a little bit of fun with what they're doing. So I've seen thousands of decks now, I feel like, at this point.
The miscut deck.
The miscut deck.
I forget the name of the person that has, but there's a deck with all miscut cards.
Yeah, crazy miscuts.
Crazy miscuts. DJ from Brainstorm Brewery has a deck that's unsleeved. Sam from Risk Studies did a video kind of about it recently.
It's the most chaotic thing.
It's like in a sandwich bag with a rubber band around it.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, it's just like,
it's
but
like
it's
real
awesome.
Magic.
Jake's
yeah.
oversized deck is
that
probably
is one
my
favorite decks,
things
yeah.
in existence, and he likes to bring it when he goes to different events. And
yeah, definitely
it's a Zedru deck, so he's giving
like,
away massive cards this big.
Definitely people bring their coolest stuff like that to the events because they're
unique showing off.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen really cool deck boxes. Oh my gosh, I saw a whole Sensei's Divining Top deck box before. I've seen really awesome stuff.
Oh, there's
got
that
a nice
Skull deck box I've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grov's got a nice trash can, like a garbage can that he puts his stuff in. It's so great.
I love that.
One question that kind of leads us into the end of this is where can everybody see the Command Zone next?
Oh, at a live event specifically. So Magic 30 is definitely on the books, October 20th to the 30th. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But as for the Command Fest this year, I don't think we'll be attending anymore just because they're all around the country, all around the world, and we are taking a lot of time off and stuff.
Yeah, I think Jimmy and I have wanted to do an event on the East Coast at some point, and then in Europe and some of the other regions, and it's something that we want to do. This month of July is just kind of tough for us. We haven't, I don't know if we've announced this to everybody yet, but we're in the process of moving the Command Zone into a new building.
Yes.
New location, and there's a lot of work to be done, and that's going to take a number of months. So we're pretty busy right now with that. So we did go to Command Fest Vegas, but it's going to be tough to make another one. But Magic 30, we're definitely going to be at Magic 30. We're going to have a large presence there. We're already talking with Wizards about the special events that we're going to be part of and the things that we want to do. A bunch of our team is definitely going to be there. So Magic 30, I think, is really going to be the spot. And this is going to be one of the all-time...
Yeah, you'll be not just us, but probably a lot of different really prominent people.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the biggest all-time events for Magic that's ever going to happen. So yeah. I would say... You know, they're pulling out all the stops, and if you can make it to Magic 30 in Vegas, and again, that's October 28th to the 30th, whatever, the weekend right before Halloween, that is going to be like a huge, huge event. And
expect cosplay.
There's going to be a ton of stuff going on. Like, yeah, I can't wait for that one.
Yep. And again, Lady will help post this link in the chat. You can check out when the other Command Fests are, the remainder of them throughout the world. And I guess, yeah, if you're watching, the links will be in the show notes if you're watching the VOD. But here again, you'll see the graphic here. North America, Europe, Latin America, and Asia Pacific all have Command Fest remaining this year. In fact, some of them are coming up very soon. So if you see one that you're interested in, you might want to go check it out. Click the links to go through. And then
remember to check all of the event info.
Yeah,
remember to check and make sure there are badges available and secure your badge. That's the first step of the process. So, like I said, you can always find a hotel and a flight. I promise that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then don't forget that Double Masters is coming up. So we're gonna talk about some upcoming events for that. There are preview events for Double Masters going on July 1st through 7th,
and
then there are launch party events from July 8th. Through the 10th, and I cannot wait for Double Masters to come out because I need to get my hands on more Dockside Extortionists.
I'm going to crack a couple of those collector's boosters, see what happens.
Drafting is so fun because you get to draft, you get the fun of that, and then you get to take the cards you got and then put them into your commander decks.
Oh my goodness.
It's the best of all worlds.
What a transition. I love that. All the way, top to bottom, from pack to deck.
Yep.
And then to Command Fest to play against some of you all.
All right, and finally... This is our last planned Command Zone Live episode. Big thanks to Wizards of the Coast for helping us to facilitate these episodes and make them happen. If you enjoyed this live stuff from us, we don't do a lot of live stuff. We haven't streamed a lot or anything like that. So if this is the type of content that you enjoy...
Hit us up.
Yeah, definitely let us know because it is the type of thing we could do more of in the future, just depending on the response from everybody.
Yeah, especially also we have our patrons as well. There's lots of cool content that we're trying to make out here. All right. Big thanks to everyone that has helped out today. Lady Danger.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the questions. In the back, Jake Boss and Jamie Block, Truck Tie, Wizards of the Coast, obviously, and Zach Malika and Nox at Hyper RPG.
Yeah, big thanks to Hyper. They have hosted and let us use the studio and all their equipment for all of these live shows, which we definitely were not set up to do on our own. And
yeah, we get this cool wall behind us, too.
Yeah, they've done a great job. So big thanks to everybody at Hyper RPG in particular. And thanks to everybody out there for coming to hang out with us.
Yeah, and we'll see you all next time.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly,
which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.